Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us here on the show. Time to talk a little NFL headlines. You can jump in and chat with John. 615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for getting me in today. I think both of us have mini camps this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah, starting to start tomorrow.
It's so funny. I hear players acting like, oh, my God, they worked so hard. Fact is, they were off like Titans, of course, played 2 weeks longer, but like the Texans, they were terrible. They were off January, February, March, half of April. Of course, they're working out, but they could go take vacations anywhere they wanted. And then the off-season program only lasts for 2 months. So I tell players, hey, you're not getting any sympathy from anybody considering how easy the off-season is in the NFL, especially compared time-wise to the NBA and the NHL. They get about half the time off, especially for the Stanley Cup and the NBA champions.
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, our number. John, any holdouts from the Texans end of things?
No, they don't have anybody. Everybody they've had, they had some really bad news Friday. They announced Andre Howell from Vanderbilt, who started every game at free safety last year. He's been diagnosed with lymphoma, with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He said that he's going to beat it. He's going to come back, and this is after watching David Quisenberry's 4-year ordeal with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Then, and he's back last season. He's a backup guard. Then I certainly wouldn't put it past Andre Howell. Jadeveon Clowney's not been out there because he said his knee hurts, and a lot of people speculate maybe it's his wallet hurts, but they say no, he's been rehabbing the whole time, and he's guaranteed him he'll be there ready to go 100% on the first day of training camp. And I don't think he'll get a contract extension until he's been on the field and doesn't have issues with his knee.
How did Hal find out about this?
I have no idea. Guys have to undergo physicals. I'm guessing something wasn't right in his body. He went over to MD Anderson Cancer Center, which is the best in the country. It's 5 minutes from their facility. I understood he went through a bunch of tests before they figured out what it was. And he's still undergoing evaluation and tests, trying to determine what's the best cause. And so I doubt he'll play this season. Hopefully he'll be back next season.
I ask you about the holdouts because we will see some in this mandatory mini camp not showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Earl Thomas is saying he's not showing up until he has a new contract, and there will be others.
Jonathan, it doesn't hurt teams to miss veteran players this time of year.
Well,
I was, especially because I remember everything I read and saw about Brady and Gronk coming back, you'd have thought his regular season, the way they slipped in so smoothly.
Well, I bring it up because there will be headlines at Pro Football Talk and other places about how much these guys can be fined per day that they miss of the mandatory practices. But how many of those players, percentage-wise, would you guess actually receive a fine from the team once they actually show up?
I don't think most of them do, unless it's, if you're a top player. Let's see, I saw a guy the other day, I can't remember who it was, who's not showing up and wants a new contract. And I said, hey, you're not good enough. I can't even remember who it was. That's the kind of guy that would get fined. These star players, they don't get fined. And if they say they're going to, they say, okay, when they get their new deal or they end their holdout, you know, they make the adjustments. And I think it's like $84,000 you can be fined total for 3 days. Each day is a different one. Well, Texans never have a third day. A lot of teams give their teams for their hard work, give them that third day off. We had this last year with Dwayne Brown, who had one of the worst holdouts I've ever seen. He lost millions in regular season and has been expecting an extension from the Seahawks, but he's 33 years old. And, if he doesn't get that money from Seattle, then he lost like $4 million last year in a contract dispute.
Brady spoke for like 4 minutes. I think it's the first time he's spoken publicly since the Super Bowl. Is there a rule in place about, I know the access stuff is always an issue, but 4 minutes with Tom Brady, with all that's gone on and not gone on, with a PR guy saying last question after two questions, how's PFWA respond to that?
I don't know. The Brady talk, remember at that symposium with Jim Gray asking him the questions that created a firestorm when he asked him if he felt appreciated, and he said, I plead the fifth, which was, of course, a setup. Gray's not going to ask him anything he doesn't tell him he's going to ask him, and Brady approved that. And I wondered at the time, he knew he was going to create controversy. Why would he do that? And he looked to me like that he said that he talked to Albert Breer from Pro Football Talk separately. Albert has taken over the Peter King Monday Morning Quarterback, and Albert wrote, when he talked to me. Now, there's a guy I will not say who's a national guy, is a friend of mine. He'll come in here, and if four of us are talking to somebody, he'll say that person was talking to him,
and
which is, to me, very unethical. But I'm assuming Albert didn't do that. And Brady made much more sense about why he wasn't at OTAs. Basically, he wanted to spend at this time more time with his family. He felt like he owed it to him, and he loves Belichick, and he loves the organization, and he loves Kraft. And that was much more revealing, of course, if he's telling the truth, in Monday Morning Quarterback than he was in his session with the media standing off the side of the field.
John and Paul chime in on this. I think people hear PFWA, they've heard that for years, but they don't know it's the Pro Football Writers Association. Explain how that works. Explain how the off-season negotiations go on between the PFWA and the league and how it all works once you get to the season.
I don't know that players have to talk in the off-season. I'm not sure they have to. Your contract says you have to cooperate with the media. And I told when I was president, and a lot of guys weren't, I told Paul Tagliabue, the commissioner, will take it out of their contract. They sign a contract, says they have to cooperate with the media, and there's certain guys that don't, and of course they didn't take it out. And there's a lot of violations, like teams can have two guys that talk once a week, and most teams have a lot of guys that talk once a week. And so if you don't talk and you complain to the Pro Football Writers of America, or yourself to the league office, the league checks it out, and they send the player a letter telling that player if he doesn't do his responsibilities, what he's contractually obligated to do, they're going to start off fining him $15,000. Even if a guy's making millions, he doesn't want that. And I remember one time there was a Cowboy player, a running back, can't even remember who it was, and he got that letter, and then in every interview other players were doing, he would walk up and go, now you better talk, they're going to get you fined. And he would try to disrupt the interview. So they intervened again. They told the guy, if he doesn't cease and desist, he's going to get another. He's going to get a fine for sure. So finally he stopped. But, 99% of players are not like that.
Right. That's right.
Most willing and able to help. But if you have an issue with a player, with a team, Pro Football Writers of America is where you can, if you're a member, particularly, and we're talking about starting a local chapter here in Nashville, which maybe will be done this week. You talk it out amongst yourselves, talk it out with the team, and if and when needed, you take it to the PFWA, which makes your case on a broader scope and with the league.
John, I've surprised myself in that I'm shockingly into the comeback of Johnny Manziel in the CFL. And I find myself really rooting for him because he's actually decided that he's going to go play football wherever he can. And right now that's as a backup for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He had a good day, 12 for 20, and a touchdown in their final preseason game. Have you followed this story at all, and what do you think about Johnny Manziel trying to make another go of it in Canada?
I'm with you, Chad, and I think a lot of people are. People pulling for him. Of course, here it's a big deal because Manziel's been such a big deal since he was a freshman and won that big game at Alabama and won the Heisman Trophy. And I'm following it because June Jones, the head coach, is a good friend of mine. Defensive coordinator Jerry Glanville, he's there. Their general manager, Eric Tillman, spent a season, 1981, in the Oilers Media Relations Department, got friends with a defensive line coach who was hired by the Montreal Alouettes to the next year, and he took Eric Tillman with him. And Eric's on his sixth CFL team as general manager. So he hired June's been recruiting Manziel since he was at SMU, and Manziel was coming out of high school. And he made it clear that Jeremiah Mazzoli, who had 15 touchdowns and 3 interceptions last year, when he came off the bench and played for June Jones, who was hired midseason as offensive coordinator and then moved to head coach at the end of the season and turned the franchise around. So a lot of people think it's only a matter of time before Manziel starts. Well, that all depends on Jeremiah Mazzoli. And they've got a pretty good offense, and their season starts Monday, and I will be keeping up. And I watched Hamilton's games and wonder and hope a chance to see Manziel at some point.
John, I know how much the Pro Football Hall of Fame means to you, both as a member in the media wing and as a voter, a selector. Paul, same for you in having the honor of serving as a selector for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. T.O. will not be there. I'm not getting into that whether or not you guys care if he's there or not, but what do you think the other Pro Football Hall of Famers think when T.O. announces he's not going to show up for the ceremony in August?
Now, I don't think what they think. I know what they think, and they don't like it, and they're very resentful because it's never happened. I know there's a lot of athletes and media defending him, and that's fine. As I said last week, I'll be writing on Deadline about former Oilers linebacker Robert Brazil. That'll make the ceremony shorter, and I believe some point later in his life, T.O. will regret it. And I'm curious if he will ever show up, because those of us on the committee, Paul and I, we take great pride in what we do. We can't disclose what's said in that meeting by opinions of any of us or quotes, ammunition that we bring in to support people. But it's an incredible responsibility. I think, Paul, it's the greatest honor we could have in our business. And what the only thing I regret about this is everybody there, including me, will have to ask the players and coaches what they think about T.O. not showing up.
That part of it's disappointing. And virtually every Hall of Famer that's spoken on this hot has been angry.
I'll tell you what's also disappointing. I don't like when Gary Myers comes back and says I wouldn't have voted for him.
Now, Ira Kaufman says I wish I could have my ballot back. I
think that goes against the spirit of what you guys are doing. And John, yeah. I know you talked about this last week also, but you're not voting on people necessarily because you like them as people or because you think they're going to give a great speech and show up to Canton. You're voting on their credentials as a Hall of Famer, as a football player.
It's just so far beyond the parameters, and it's an outlier, and these guys then have hot takes and have taken it personally to some degree, it would appear.
But John, here's what confuses me. This is against the grain of the T.O. persona. I mean, he's going to have the stage for as long as he wants it on national television to speak about whatever he wants to speak about it, and he's choosing not to do it. That's what's surprising to me.
The best line I saw was, somebody said he was a bad teammate in the NFL. Now he's a bad teammate in the Hall of Fame. I don't care. I would have voted for him anyway because he deserves it. And I don't care that he's not there. And if he was going to be disruptive, I'm glad he's not there. Because when you get there, you got to be respectful. You have to be respectful of all those who come back. And you have to be respectful of those who put you in position of being in the Hall of Fame.
Here's one interesting thing. A lot of people were saying he's doing it to slight Hutton. We talked about this a little bit on Friday. It's to slight the voters. when this doesn't slight the voters
not
at
one
all,
bit.
It slights the Hall of Famers.
Right.
But let's go back, and for fear of me crossing from the room into our interview with him, what do you remember about what Dan Fouts said about him when we interviewed Dan Fouts after the second time that T.O. didn't make the Hall of Fame, and we had him on the air, and he said that he feels like he represents the Hall of Famers in the room, that he polled a lot of Hall of Famers, and I think he told us on the air
they didn't want him.
So if that's Dan Fouts saying that publicly, then, you know, if his intention is to slight people who don't want him.
Oh, but there are so many more that were just dumbfounded that he didn't get in on the first ballot as members
of
the Hall.
I don't think. You think?
I don't know how anybody could be dumbfounded when how many receivers get in on the first ballot other than Jerry Rice. Why would you put T.O. over Michael Irvin or Chris Carter, who are, you know, we didn't say we're not putting T.O. in because the first ballot, we put others in because we thought they were more deserving.
Well, it wasn't that you're putting them in over those players. You're putting them in over other players that were a part of those classes. I remember a punter that made it recently.
Yeah, the kicker, Morton Anderson, who was a leading scorer in NFL history. But,
well, Ray Guy,
to me,
too, recently.
I wasn't surprised that T.O. didn't get on the first ballot. And I see all these things by people and players or media people that think they know what goes on in their room, and they're clueless, absolutely clueless.
I mean, I felt the tone shifting in the room this year, I'll say that. But when he got in, I was surprised.
John Edelman suspended for the first four games for a PED violation. Beyond what it means for the Patriots, what does it mean? What type of blow is it to the TB12 method and the behind-the-scenes fighting going on between Brady's trainer and what's going on inside the New England facility?
The players who like Alex Guerrero and believe in him, like Julian Edelman, you know, publicly it might be a blow, but he's still got Brady as his biggest supporter. And, you know, only Julian Edelman knows who the person is that convinced him to do what he did to get, and he got caught. And Dan Shaughnessy from Boston Globe wrote it's a win for Belichick because he doesn't. They don't like the methods that Alex Guerrero teaches because some of them go against what the Patriots teach. And this is in rehabilitation. This is in everything as far as your health. But Brady swears by the guy, so it's natural that players would check with him. I'll bet you there's a lot of NFL players, while they don't go there and train, have reached out to Guerrero to find out what TB12 is and that they want to implement some of it, especially if they saw Brady and Guerrero on Tom versus Time on Facebook.
Yep.
The to me, I mean, Amendola saying, I don't know what happened, is just lame. We know, we have a lot of guesses as to what happened. You telling me you don't know does nothing.
Yeah, I don't think anybody buys that.
John, thank you as always. Enjoy the mini camps that are underway this week, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.
You guys enjoy the Titans mini camp, and I'll talk to you then.
Thank you, John. Follow John on Twitter at McLean_on_NFL.